Samuel was sleeping in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. The Lord called Samuel, who answered, "Here I am." How does the Lord call us today? Does he call us today? Or is the way that Samuel got called just something that happened in the Old Testament? It's interesting because if you read that first reading, you just say, okay, well, then God just calls us. He just talks to us whenever he wants to. But I would tell you that many of us have not had that personal experience. But there's a few oddities in our first reading that tells us a few things that we could probably use to help us understand how God talks to us today. One of the things is that Samuel doesn't recognize it right away. He doesn't know that that's God. He goes and he asks Eli, who is an old priest that's been in the temple for decades. And it's only after the third time that Eli even recognizes that it's the Lord calling him. But it does reveal to us one of the first things that we see. To be able to hear God talking to you, you have to be close to him. Samuel was in the temple of the Lord. Now, in the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant was not just some liturgical appliance. That was God. And so in the temple was this ark that the priests watched over, and that was God. Now things are a little bit different for us today, as you heard in the second reading, because no longer does God reside in some temple out there. Paul said, "You are temples of the Holy Spirit." With the coming of Jesus and with your baptism, you became the temple of God, so that no longer do you have to go anywhere to listen to God to talk to you, because you contain Jesus in you now. So that's one thing that's different, that we can believe that Jesus and God can talk to us. And one of the most difficult things, I think, with people is they just don't even believe it. They don't bother to ask God to talk to them because they don't believe it. So one of the things that we know is that we got to be close to God. We can't just be doing whatever we want. We got to constantly have God on our mind. But that's not enough. It wasn't enough in our first reading. It wasn't enough for Samuel. He didn't recognize that it was God. So there's something else. And in the case of our gospel, he gives us a clue, because it's not something else, it's someone else. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he told his disciples and pointed and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." So it helps if we have someone in our lives that would tell us, that's more attuned to God's frequency, and say and point out to us, "You know what? I think that's God telling you something." That's the essence of what we call spiritual direction, if you ever heard of that term. It sort of is self-explanatory. It's spiritual, and it's direction. It's telling you how to go about tuning in to God's frequency. So you can do that. That's one-on-one with people that know that and are practiced in that. You can also learn to tune into God's frequency by just being around a small group of people that are trying to do the same thing. They're trying to listen to God's word. So the more you spend time in that group of people, the more likely you'll listen to God's word. The Archdiocese even runs a course called Called and Gifted, where you can come and you can see, what did God say? What did he make me for? And how do I use those gifts that he gave me? But we can't all do that today. So I'm going to offer some suggestions on help us hear God. The first one is you already heard about. Strive for holiness. Be good. Because like knows like. And the closer you spend, the more time you spend with God, the more likely you will be able to hear his voice. If you don't ever spend time with him, if you ever don't think with him, if you don't ever ask him for anything, if you don't have a dialogue with Jesus, then it's going to be near impossible for you to hear him when he's speaking to you. And I say near impossible because God can do anything. He can break through anything that you have, and he can still speak to you at any time and anywhere. But it's going to be much more likely if you stay close to him. The second clue I give you to listen to God is to listen to God. Many of us will constantly talk to God, but then we don't stop and listen. I sort of equate it to sort of think about talking to God like a radio, and you're trying to tune into God's frequency. And then when you get it, you push that little button and you transmit your message. Most of us don't take our finger off that button. We just keep transmitting, and we don't receive. We don't stop and sit in his presence and listen to what God's got to tell us after we talk to him. And so what I often ask people is to spend about 50-50, 50% praying and 50% just sitting in the presence of God and just listening to him and see what he has for an answer for you. The more and closer you get to God, the more you're going to find that you're more on receive than you are on transmit as time goes on. Another difficulty I hear when people have trouble listening or hearing God's word is they try to frame God's word. They try to frame what they want to hear from God. So they kind of say, okay, God, this is what I want, but it's got to be this or this or that. Tell me, which one you want me to do? It's got to be one of these three things. What they don't want to hear from God is that it's not A, B, or C, it's D, none of the above. They don't want to hear none of the above because they've already figured out that it's got to be one of these three things, God. Tell me what you want, but it's got to be this. When your heart is open to D, none of the above, then you're much more likely to hear God's word in your life. Because often God has something different from you than you think you know what is best for you and what you want. What is God speaking to us? What does that exactly sound like? Well, I've only had one experience of God directly speaking to me, and I probably have mentioned it before. It had to do when I was a pediatrician, and it was about a year and a half before my wife got ill. But God was starting to turn. He knew his plan for me. So he started to turn my heart. But what he did was, or what I did, was I started to become more dissatisfied with being a pediatrician, which sounds crazy because it's a wonderful job. But I would be coming home from work saying, God, is this what I'm going to be doing for, is this all you want? Is this, I just don't want to do this anymore. I was just crabby and upset. And I did that, I don't know, for many months. I just remember many months I'd come home crabby for no good reason. And one day I was driving home. I know exactly the spot I was and what I was doing, and I was doing the same thing. I was, God, come on, what do you want from me? I'm getting tired of this. And that's when God spoke to me, and he said, shut up and go to work. That's the words he said. He said, shut up and go to work. And so I could tell you when God speaks to you, there's several clues that it's God. One is, you know it's God. It wasn't the radio. It wasn't my brain telling me that. That was God. Because when you hear it, it's very clear. It wasn't like, okay, what did you mean, God? Tell me more. It was, do this. And I said, okay. The other thing is that it goes right through you. It's not just heard in your head. It's heard in your whole body. Just like sort of like Paul says, your whole body is a temple. It's sort of like you hear the whole thing in there. And you heard it, and it was clear, and you'll never forget it. And the fourth thing is it's really hard to explain. For if never had that happen, it's really hard for me to tell you what it was like. Because people could say, well, that was just you thinking about it or what was going on. That rarely happens. So how does God more frequently talk to us? And this is the greatness of the Christmas season. Because not only did God become man, but God becoming man in the form of Jesus basically tells us what God is like. He's like Jesus. And so if we listen to the word of Jesus, we get in a relationship with Jesus, we get close to Jesus, we're basically understanding what God's like. Jesus told us he was here to show us the Father. So Jesus knows. And it's in all our written word, it's in the Bible, it's in Scripture. You read the word of God and you get to hear God speak to you. It's in the word of God. Jesus was called the word of God. And we have that great benefit of listening and reading the scriptures and having God speak to us in his word. And then what God showed us through the life of Jesus is that God speaks to us in the actions of our daily life. So when people come to me and say, I really want to do God's will, I want to hear God, I want to hear what God has to say to me, I tell them to do all the things that I told you. I tell them first, transmit what you want, but then put it on receive and wait. Secondly, spend more time close to God. Ask him for things in your life. And then go out and live your life in joy and expectation that of course Jesus, God will answer me. Of course I'll get an answer. And live every moment of your life like that. I tell people to keep their antennas up because God's going to answer them, but he'll answer them through the things that happen to you and the people that you meet and the circumstances that you see. I have heard God's voice standing in Sendix waiting to check out because I heard somebody say something. That's how God speaks to us most of the time. And he'll speak to us all the time if you are tuned to him. And the closer you are to him, the clearer that message will come through. You'll know it's him. You will know it's him. But one more caveat, especially for us suburbanites, because we don't like to wait. We're the kind of people that we get into Costco and we look, try to get to the shortest line. Like, does this one or that one? We're the kind of people that we don't like to go to the drive-up and have people order like all this stuff or get mad. We're sitting in the drive-up too long. Or we're the kind of people that we think the self-checkout will be faster, but then all these people come with this stuff and they don't know what they're doing. And we get mad and we say, let's get out of here. Let me do this. That's the kind of people we are. We want answers right away. So what we think is when we finally do talk to God, that he's going to talk to us like right away. Like he'll be right on the phone. He'll just call me. We have to remember that our time is not God's time. I found that out. Our time is not God's time. That's the bad part. The good part is that God's time is the right time. Ours isn't. God's time is the right time. So sometimes when we ask God for something we want to tell, we got to wait because there's got to be circumstances that have to happen before God tells us. And our patience is short. God can talk to us. He does talk to us. The only thing that's stopping it is us. And he talks to us every day if we watch. I guess Padre Pio said it most succinctly. He said, pray, hope, and don't worry.